Antarctica is the coldest, driest, windiest and highest continent on Earth. Recently, our Sydney reporter, travel editor Helen Hayes, got to experience a flight over Antarctica with Chimu Adventures. And on the Qantas Dreamliner flight, she met Antarctic expert Narelle Campbell from the Australian Antarctic Division. Here she talks to Narelle about her experiences in the Great White Continent.
So you have spent many months in Antarctica at several bases. When did you first decide that you wanted to work in Antarctica?
I just remember as a child just loving watching wildlife documentaries, particularly David Attenborough documentaries. And, it's really funny. A lot of my friends at school thought that they'd end up getting work as a secretary, and so they'd go off and do a shorthand course and a typing course. But for me, it was all about the outdoors. So when I was about 14 years of age, there was an ad in the newspaper, in the Sydney Morning Herald, a full-page ad, and it was a recruitment ad. So I got very excited about that, had a look through it, but I didn't want to be an electrician. I didn't want to study and be a scientist or a doctor. So I put that aside, and many, many years later, as I worked up through senior management at Fairfax, it put me in a position where I could apply for a station leader role for the Australian Antarctic Division. And that was back in 2004.
Whoa. You mentioned that people from many different fields are required. So station manager is a good place to start. So that was your first role, was it?
Yeah, for the station leader's position, you need to have a diverse background and work in an area where preferably remote, and also lead and manage large teams of diverse backgrounds. So that's where I was able to use my previous skills and apply for the job. I missed out the first time, so I then ended up doing extra study and change career, and then I applied again in 2007, and that's when I actually was selected, and my first year was at Mawson Station. So all up, you know, I've spent 5 years, so it's four over winters, and all four stations, so very lucky.
You've worked at the four different bases now, as you've said. So Mawson Station was your first. Tell us a little bit about life there. How long were you there, and what were the major highlights of working at Mawson?
So I was at Mawson Station for 15 months, and the highlights, well, there's so many. Mawson Station is an absolutely stunning station. You've got a mountain range behind the station, 52 kilometres off station, travelling over the sea ice. There's a emperor penguin rookery, which is 10,000 breeding pairs. Emperors. So during winter, we would regularly go out and observe the emperors and watch that whole life cycle of them, the chicks hatching from the egg and the egg getting passed over and watching the chicks grow. And the team was another highlight. You know, you're living and working alongside some pretty remarkable and impressive individuals. But it's also learning how to live with each other when you're in an isolated environment and supporting each other. You know, I always say that every single person has got the most important job, because if some pipes burst, the plumber at that particular time is the most important position. If we had a power outage, it's the electricians or the diesel mechanics who are required to get us back up and running. If there's an injury, the doctor is the most important person at the time. And really everyone, if we couldn't do without a particular person, particularly during the winter months. So we're all pretty important.
When did you go down there, and what was it like compared to Mawson?
Two very, very different stations. So Mawson is a much quieter station. You've got a smaller team. So in summer, there's around about 34 people on station, and in winter there was 17. So then Casey Station, so I was there the year when they started flying in on the Airbus. The previous year, they did a couple of trial runs, but the year I went down was the first operational year for weekly flights from Hobart. So it was a very, very busy station. We had 120-odd people on the station during the summer. People were coming and going on the aircraft. We had a number of people from other stations, Chinese station, French station, come by for a couple of days, you know, just transferring through. So it was a very, very different station. It was busy, really busy. And I don't remember getting a lot of sleep during the summer months.
Oh, well, I can imagine. So it seems bizarre to hear about weekly flights to somewhere in the Antarctic. So was that obviously just on a strip of ice? And what was the airport called? Did it have a name, or is it just wherever the strip was like done with one of those ice skating rink machines? Or how does it work?
So for the Airbus to land, so it actually lands on wheels, and the airport or the aerodrome is 3.5 hours drive from Casey Station. So it's up on the plateau, and that has to be continually groomed and checked to make sure that there is no bumps or little divots on the airstrip. So there's a team that work up there permanently during summer to continue to make sure that the airstrip is operational and passes CASA regulations. So, and the purpose of that is, you know, going back years ago when the only way to get down to Antarctica was by the Aurora Australis or by ship, there are some scientists that need to do some very significant work down there, but their work might only take 3 weeks to get the samples that they need. But for them to go down, they'd have to probably leave home for 5 months. The time they go down on the ship and then wait for the next ship to take them home. And in this case, there are a number of scientists can come down and do their work in a week and then go home. So you can actually get a lot more science done and a lot of people willing to come down because they're not tied up with ship time, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, well, that makes it a lot easier
for sure. Your next base was Macquarie Island. You said it was like living in a David Attenborough documentary. What was it like? Paint us a picture.
Oh, it's green. So if you compare the Antarctic continent stations, there it's white. There's no colour and there's no smell unless you're close to a penguin rookery. So then Macquarie Island to me was green and lush and very wet. So it doesn't rain on the Antarctic continent. Or it's incredibly rare that it does. So Macquarie Island was rained. It rains 360 days out of 365, but that doesn't mean it rains all day. But it's just so green and lush and muddy and the wildlife, my goodness, there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of penguins, and there's 5 species of penguins that are at Macquarie Island, and you've got your elephant seals. And to go from one end of station to the other, which isn't far, particularly when the weaners are around, and that's the baby seals, elephant seals, you're nearly stepping over them just to get from one building to another. And although you've got to be very, very careful you don't disturb them, but the place is littered with wildlife. And for me to go to bed of a night and get some sleep, because you can open your windows down there in Macquarie Island, as opposed to you cannot open windows when you're on the continent. And then just to go to sleep with penguins trumpeting and elephant seals burping all night long, and it was really pleasant.
So the last place you managed was Davis.
Davis was another very busy station. We had roughly 130 personnel on station during summer. And we had a lot of infrastructure work happening when I was there. That was in 2014. And I was there for, that was 16 months. You've got the Vesterfold Hills just off station. So you get to do a lot of walking. Beautiful, beautiful hills and mountain range. And it was, community living was very, very similar. And they're all very similar to all of the stations. People just settle into their roles and there's a lot of fun. We have a lot of dress-up nights. There's a lot of games. Everyone works really, really hard. And I always compare life in Antarctica is very similar to the TV show MASH, where people know how to have fun. They're isolated. People know how to have fun. They look after each other. When things go a bit pear-shaped, the expertise really comes out. and everyone gets in and really supports each other and gets the job done. And then when it's just normal work, there's a lot of joking, and there's, you know, it's just a fun environment.
And it's just daylight all day long, 24 hours.
Do you prefer the summer or winter when you get no sun at all? Two different reasons. Summer, because you can get out and about a lot more, because you have the opportunity. It doesn't get dark, you know, for a couple of months during summer. And so after work, you can then just get on get in one of the vehicles, or just go for a hike and just go and explore parts around station or even off station. What you have to be careful of is, before you know it, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, but it looks like it's only lunchtime because it's so light. And that's the trap that people fall into. They think, oh, we'll just go out and after work and we'll just go out for a bit of a walk, and they're loving it so much. So before they know it, it's 3-4 o'clock in the morning. They've got to get up early. So that's the part I like about summer. But winter I love because you've got the auroras, and we see quite a lot of auroras, and you see auroras during the day because it's dark. And the small community, the station's population drops to anywhere between 15 and 25 for our station. So you fall into a close-knit family. And that's what I love as well.
What would be the website for people to look at if they're interested to go and have a look to see if they can work there?
They're recruiting at the moment. So it is if they just do a search for the Australian Antarctic Division, and there's a lot of jobs on offer now for the following season or even the season after. So highly recommend it.
And are you going back?
You never say never, and I would love to go back, but at the moment it's a big commitment, and you know my father's 89 years of age and he's in really good health. But you've also, it's important to consider what happens if you're south and something happens to a family member. And you know, I hope my father's going to be around for another 15 years. But you never know. So at the moment, I've got other personal commitments that keep me at home, but maybe another time.
Well, thank you so much for your time,
Narelle. I really appreciate you talking to Travel Writers Radio.
You're welcome. Thanks, Helen.
This is the Travel Writers Show on J Air 88 FM in Melbourne.